for the people who came late, the two reminders or the two, well, first, if you want, you're invited on Saturday at 11 a.m. To hear me give a dessert talk on Hilbert 13th problem. It's the same talk that I gave at the graduate student seminar a few weeks ago. The main difference is that I made even fancier pictures. So for the graduate student seminar, I only had pictures for the first step of the proof. And now I also have pictures for the second and third steps. And it's really been done only for fun, and there is no content, no real content to this talk other than fun. Also, I remind you that homework 3 is available over there. And let's go back. So, sorry. Let's go back. So, again, I remind you that I'm trying to prove invariance under Rademeister 2. The first pass part was to somehow tell you that it's enough to work with tangles. The next part should be to explain in what sense is a circle equal to two empty sets with degree shifts. And the third part should be to cancel terms. Okay? How to cancel terms in complexes. So here's the first part, now the second part. Claim. In this funny world, so complexes over matrices over cobordisms, modulo local relations, modulo homotopy. In fact, I don't even need complexes here. So in fact, just in the inside world, claim. In this inside world here, a circle is isomorphic to two empty sets. Okay? So, again, I claim that the column vector that consists of only one entry, the circle, so therefore I failed to write the column vector symbol around it, is isomorphic to the column vector that has two empty sets on it. And again, I've dropped all the bookkeeping information, so this empty set is somehow shifted plus one, and this empty set is somehow shifted minus one, but I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to reconstruct the bookkeeping information. So it's not really quite the same empty set. Okay, but ignore this. Okay. If I have two objects and I need to show that they're isomorphic, I need to construct a map going from one to the other and a map going the other way, so that the compositions are the identity. Okay? So the map going from the circle to the union of two empty sets, not the union, the column vector with two empty sets, well, it should be a bundle of arrows, right? A bundle of morphisms in our category, going from the circle to the empty set, to this empty set, and the circle to this empty set. That bundle will be, well, going from the circle to the top empty set, I will go with an ordinary cup, and going from the circle to the bottom empty set, I will go with a cup with a hole, with genus, okay? Of cup of genus one, okay? I'm declaring, right? I mean, you don't have the right to argue. I'm telling you what the map is, and then either it's an isomorphism or not. Okay? I need to construct also a map going from two empty sets to the circle, and the map will be from the empty set to the circle, from the top empty set to the circle, you go with a half times the the cup with a hole, and to go from the lower empty set to the circle, you go with a cup, an ordinary cup. So an ordinary cup has on the left an empty set and on the right a circle. So it's just what I want. Is this okay? Well, now I claim that this is an isomorphism. I'd better verify it. So I have to check that going from here to here, I get the identity. And also, well, also the other composition. Okay? Well, going from here to here, by definition of matrix multiplication, is the sum of going via the top or going via the bottom. If you go via the top, you get the cobordism that looks like a cup followed by a genus 1 cup with a factor half. So you get, in fact, the picture shown here. Okay? Cup followed by a genus 1 cup. Okay? If you go through the bottom, you get first a genus 1 cup and then an ordinary cup. So you get the picture here on the left. Both come with a factor of 1 half because there are 1 halves here. So you get, so using the net cutting relation, and remember where I am, I mean matrices over cobordisms modulo the local relations, so I can use the local relations. So modulo the local relations, this is just a neck. But a neck, well, I failed to tell you what's the identity in the category of cobordisms. But the identity in the category of cobordisms is just the obvious one, right? The identity cobordism between a picture and the same picture is just that picture multiplied by an interval. Namely, in the case of a single circle, it's just an n. So going from here, so, well, one composition proven. Okay? Now the other composition. So the other composition is in fact a 2x2 matrix of morphisms, right? I have to go from this column into here, reappear in this side of the diagram, and then go back into this picture. And there are 4 ways to do it. I could go from top to here to here and then to top, or the other 4 ways. So let's do all 4 of them, okay, just for fun. And in fact, you will see that the local relation were cooked so that this will be true. That was the whole point of the local relations. So one local relation we've already used, and we will not use it again, and this was the net cutting relation. The other local relations are coming now. So, again, I have to go from the top empty set to the, sorry, I have to go from here to here in the 4 possible ways. First way is top to top, second way top to bottom, bottom to top, and bottom to bottom. Okay? Top to top, I have I'm going from the empty set to the circle. I first get this thing, so I get 1 half times this picture, and then I need to compose it with a cup. Composing it with a cup puts the cup here. So I get 1 half of a torus, but a torus is equal to 2, so I just get 1. Okay? What I mean by 1 as a cobordism, remember, what I meant by the torus is equal to 2 was that you can remove the torus and stay with the rest. The rest is the empty set. So you get the empty set as a cobordism from the empty set to the empty set, but that's just the identity of the set of cobordisms from the empty set to the empty set. So this one really means the identity morphism from here to here. Okay? Now let's look at the bottom one. Well, the bottom one will be kind of the same, right? I get a cup, first of all, followed by 1/2 a cup of genus 1, so followed by this picture. But again, this is 1/2 a torus, which is again the identity. Okay? Now let's look at one of the mixed ways of going. So I'll go from here to here and then down to here. Well, I have 1/2 times a torus. So I have 1/2 times, sorry, not a torus, a genus 1 cup, followed by another genus 1 cup. So I'll get a genus 2, I'll get a quarter times a genus 2 surface, but that was declared to be zero. Did you catch me, Yuri? You speak Hebrew, don't you? Did you catch me? Okay. So I don't know, 2 hours of speaking English, one Hebrew word somehow slips into my stream without me even, I mean, so without me intending it.
I do that too.
Yeah, no, it's probably natural. I don't know. Anyway, it just briefly happened and Yuri didn't catch it. Anyway, now let's go from the bottom to the top. So from the bottom, I go to here, that's a cup. And then I go to the top by another cup, and I got the sphere. But the sphere was declared to be zero. So basically, this becomes the 1-1 map with the missing arrows being zero. As a matrix, this is the matrix written in this way. And that's the identity, QED. Okay? So now we have the sense in which a circle is worth two empty sets. I still need to tell you how to cancel like terms. Okay? In a formula, you just erase them. In a complex, it's more complicated. Okay? So that's the next step. So here is a completely abstract statement. Okay, so in any complex written over an additive category, so a category that has zeros and direct sums, okay, so in which you can add morphisms, so in any, this is true in general, okay. So the claim is, suppose you have a four-step complex that look like that. It has a column vector C, and it has another column vector which I write in two parts, B1 and D. And you should think of B1 as being a single object, and D being the rest of the column. Okay? So capital letters will mean possibly a long list of objects, and lowercase letters will mean a single object. In fact, it's not very important that it would be a single object, but let's just think about it this way. Okay? Going into B2E, again, the meaning should be clear, going into F, and, well, I need to give names to the entries of the differential. So the differential will be, well, here it should be a 2x1 matrix. It's really a block matrix. Okay? Where, so alpha is a block of morphisms and beta is a block of morphisms, but alpha is the block of all morphisms going from C to B1, and beta is the block of all morphisms going from C to D. Okay? Likewise, this is the differential going from here to here. The exception here is that phi is a single morphism, because it goes from a single object to a single object. And likewise, the matrix mu nu goes from here to here. Okay? I claim that if phi is an isomorphism, so if the 1-1 entry of this matrix is an isomorphism, then this complex is isomorphic to the complex written here. Okay? Again, what is this complex? It has the same objects, but a slightly different collection of morphisms. Okay? So, the proof is the kind of things that, I don't know how to do the proof on the blackboard. Okay? But I'll tell you how you could do it yourself really, really easily. Okay? Basically, the fact that phi is invertible means that you can do Gaussian elimination. Okay, that you can do, the fact that it's an isomorphism means that you can think of it as one. And in my linear algebra class, in fact, right now, this week, I'm teaching row reduction and row and column reduction, and one of the things that you learn is that if you have a matrix of the form 1ABC, you can add a multiple of this row to this multiple, to this row, so as to get 1, 0, something, C, something, something, okay? And then you can add a multiple of this row, of this column to this column, so as to get 1, 0, 0, something, okay? So, but what does it mean in, row operations in linear algebra just mean multiplying on the left by an elementary matrix. Column operations mean multiply on the right by an elementary matrix. And elementary matrices just change basis. In fact, multiplying by any invertible matrix just means change of basis. Okay? So, really, what I'm asserting is that you can change basis here so as to get from this picture to that picture. Okay? So, the morphism going from here to here will be the matrix that implements the row operations that kill gamma. And the matrix that goes from here to here will be the matrix that implements the column operations that kill delta. And the content of my assertion is that when you pre-multiply this matrix by that matrix and post-multiply it by that matrix, you get the row-column reduced result, which is this. Okay? So, again, the verification is an exercise to my linear algebra class. Okay? Should I say more? I mean, I could write it explicitly. Well, I mean, in fact, writing it explicitly is not such a big deal. In some sense, I don't want to write it explicitly because I want it I want it to be clear that it's a triviality that doesn't depend on memorizing matrices, but only on memorizing linear algebra facts. But basically, okay, I have a picture like this, and I need to show that it's isomorphic to another picture like this. Here the matrix was alpha beta. Here the matrix is phi delta gamma epsilon. And here the matrix is mu nu. And now I'm telling you what matrices to put so as to make a commutative diagram here. So the matrix here will be the identity, no change of basis here. The matrix here will be the identity, no change of basis here. the change of basis here will be you keep the generators, but you add, again, I want to do the row operation that will eliminate gamma. So that row operation is I think it's gamma phi inverse. I think so. Or maybe negative gamma phi inverse, because I want to eliminate. Okay, so negative gamma phi inverse. And the column operation will be 1, 1, delta phi inverse 0. Okay, what's the inverse of this matrix? So to go the other way, so this is positive. The inverse of this matrix is 1, 0, 1. When you invert a lower triangular matrix, the result is lower triangular or upper triangular? Probably, is it this? Okay, so it's this. Negative gamma phi inverse. And this will be, I don't need to know what going backwards is here. So now, let's go up this way and down. And I will get the product of z's of this matrix with that matrix and that matrix. And if I didn't blunder, and I may have blundered, okay? But if I didn't blunder, the result is the matrix written over there. Phi, epsilon, minus, and so on, 0, 0. Okay? Okay. Anyway, the point about this complex, and I should say that when you actually carry out the computations, the matrix that comes here is not zero nu. You get some complicated expression and then nu. But you have to remember that these matrices were not free, because d squared is equal to zero. So there is some relation, basically when you multiply this matrix by that matrix, you get zero, and likewise for that. So there are relations, and once you apply these relations, you get zero here, okay? And you get a zero up here as well. Anyway, the point about this complex is that it's a direct sum of complexes. If you look at this complex, it's this one. The complex at the bottom looks like C goes to D goes to E goes to F, and B1 and B2 with a phi in between. And here you have beta, here you have MS, epsilon minus gamma phi inverse delta, and here you have nu. And, this is really a column vector, but there are no entries going this way and no entries going that way. So this complex is a direct sum complex. It's the direct sum of this complex with that complex. Okay? But one of the terms in the direct sum complex is just an isomorphism. Had it been ordinary linear algebra, ordinary homological algebra, the homology would be zero, right? If you have an isomorphism, the kernel here is zero, so the homology here is zero, and the image here is everything, so the homology is again zero. So I claim that even in our funny homological algebra, isomorphisms are homotopy equivalent to zero. Okay? So here is an aside claim. So in com mod homotopy, whenever you have an isomorphism, this as a complex is homotopy equivalent to the empty complex, or if you wish, the complex that has only zeros. Okay? Proof. Well, the proof is so stupid that I can even do it on the blackboard. Okay? So here is the one complex that's supposed to be homotopy equivalent to that one. Well, I must be, if they are homotopy equivalent, I must be able to write the equivalence. So I must be able to write a morphism going from here to here. Well, it must be the zero morphism. I must be able to write a morphism going backwards. Well, it must be the zero morphism. That's not terribly exciting. And I must check that the two compositions are the identity. Well, going from 0 up to B1 and back down to 0, I get the 0 map, which happens to be the identity of the 0 object. Going from here to here, I get the same thing. So one composition is just the identity. And the other composition is the map from the complex B1 to B2 to itself, which is the zero map, unfortunately. So really, I have to tell you that that the two maps from this complex to itself, okay, one map is the identity map, and the other map is the zero map. I have to tell you that these two maps are homotopic. Okay? So I have to construct a homotopy. But there is only one place where I have to put a homotopy, and there is only one thing I could conceivably write going from B2 to B1, and especially given that I told you that phi is invertible, it's clear what this thing is, phi inverse. And now you check the condition for a homotopy. The condition should be that this minus that should be, so one should be going this way, which is zero, plus going that way, which is phi composed with phi inverse, so it's true. And likewise for the other one, QED. Okay? So, modulo homotopy, the modulo homotopy, I could simply eliminate this piece. Okay? And this is what replaces cancellation of terms. Okay? Instead of having, if you have terms which appears in neighboring heights and are connected by an isomorphism, I can change bases so that to split off a direct summand and then cancel the two terms. Okay, now I can finally show you invariants under Rademeister 2. Okay? So I need to show, in fact, I show you a little more here. I show you how the tensor product of two things is calculated. Okay? So I need to show you, I need to start from the complicated side of Rademeister 2. The complicated side of Rademeister 2 is drawn over here, and it's the connected sum of two single crossings. Okay? So the complex for the complicated side, well, either you just draw it all at once from the procedure for drawing complexes that I described in the beginning. So either it is this drawn all at once, and I think signs are ignored here, or you write the complex for a single crossing, and it's a zero smoothing going into a one smoothing via ecobordism. So this is just the symbol for ecobordism. And you write the complex for the other crossing, and it's a zero smoothing going to a one smoothing via ecobordism. And then you compose the two. Composing the two means, creating this square in which each entry is the product of what's to its left with what's above it. And you just get this picture. Likewise, for the morphism, each morphism is a product of, the identity from above and the morphism to its left, if it's a morphism going down, and if it's a morphism going to the right, it's the product of the identity on the left times the morphism above it. Okay? So this is the complex for the left-hand side of the Rademeister move, and I want to show that this complex is homotopy equivalent to the complex for the right-hand side of the Rademeister move. What's the complex for the right-hand side of the Rademeister move? The complex for the right-hand side, the right-hand side of the Rademeister move was drawn this way. This is the right-hand side of the Rademeister move. The complex for this is, it's the zero-dimensional cube of smoothings. A cube of zero dimensions has a single entry in it, and it's the smoothing in which you replace, in which you do nothing. So the complex for this is simply, as a complex, it's the chain that has a single space in it, nothing to its left and nothing to its right. Okay? So again, I need to show that this complex, meaning this plus the direct sum of these two and plus that, is homotopy equivalent to this complex. Okay, just like in the ordinary Rademeister case, the first thing to notice is that a circle is equal to the direct sum of two empty sets. So I will replace this object by an isomorphic object, the direct sum of two empty sets. And now, what I get is, now it is drawn as a complex. So this thing moved to here. This thing moved here. This thing moved here. And this thing got replaced by a sum of two empty sets. Now, I look at this complex, and I didn't indicate what happens to the morphisms. Okay? But now I look at this complex and I notice that the morphism going from here to here, and again, I could write it down explicitly. It's simply the morphism going from here to here composed with the piece of the isomorphism that goes from here to the top empty set. Okay, so I mean, I could write this morphism explicitly, and when I look at it, I see that it's the identity. Well, the identity is a type of isomorphism, so I can change basis and cancel these two objects. After doing this, I find that going from here to here, I'm left with an isomorphism. In fact, the change of basis will not even affect this. So that was an isomorphism before, and it remains an isomorphism. So, I mean, I find that this is an isomorphism, I cancel these two, and I'm left with a one-step complex, which is what I wanted. So for the case of Rademeister 2, I mean, again, I didn't carry out the computations in detail, but it turns out to be completely trivial. Like the hard terms, these terms end up not interfering with anything. if you have a more complicated picture, you actually have to keep track of the gamma phi inverse deltas. Anyway, at the end, the computations are extremely efficient, in fact. So if you take, if you look at this knot, this is a tall knot with, I think it's the seven, oh, it says so, the 7-6 tallest knot. So it has 35 crossings, okay? And what you do is you start computing the invariant of a piece of it, and then use wherever you see a circle, you replace it by two empty sets. Wherever you see an isomorphism, you get rid of it. So you kind of simplify, and then add another crossing, and then simplify, and then add another crossing, and then simplify. So you repeatedly add crossings and simplify. And at the end, you can compute, you can simplify the end result. Now, what will the end result be? Okay? The end result will be well, it will be a complex of the following general form. Well, maybe before the end result, let me tell you, so this of course continues. Before the end result, let me tell you what, how it starts. So the Hovanov cube of this 35 crossing knot will be a certain 35 dimensional cube, which projects down to a complex with 36 terms. Three of them are shown, and each term will typically have several zillions of smoothings written in it. Okay, so you have a smoothing in each one. Okay, in each place, and funny cobordisms connecting them. Okay, after you do, after you use repeatedly the lemma that tells you that a closed circle is two empty sets, those columns become even longer because every circle becomes two empty sets. So they become longer but much more boring, meaning you just get empty sets everywhere. Okay? So every, and in fact, you know, using the complex reduction, you can get rid of many of them. Okay? But you just have a column, a long, long, long column of empty sets here, and a long, long, long column of empty sets here, and a long, long, long column of empty sets here. Now, these are matrices of morphisms, but they all go from the empty set to the empty set. A cobordism from the empty set to the empty set, suppose you have an empty set here and an empty set here. A cobordism is just a surface with no boundary. This is a closed knot, so the boundaries on the sides are don't exist. But a cobordism with no boundary is just a surface. And a surface, well, if it has genus more than 2, it becomes 0. If it has genus 0, if it's a sphere, it's 0. And if it's genus 1, it can be replaced by a scalar. So basically, all surfaces can be replaced by scalars. So all of these matrices are just numerical matrices, in fact, with integer coefficients. Okay? And so at the end, you simply get a complex over the integers. Okay? A complex of matrices over these are just matrices, and the composition of these matrices is zero. So it's just a complex over the integers. It's a little bit fancier than that, because remember that each of these empty sets had a little degree shift associated with this, with it. So this is the stuff that I told you is bookkeeping, and I don't want to think about it. Okay? So really, the picture is divided into floors. There is the basement floor, there is a ground floor, there is floor one, there is floor two, and so on. Okay, because each empty set has a certain shift. And I told you that the different floors don't interact. Okay? So really, the picture is divided into floors. And in each floor, I have a separate complex of integer matrices. Okay? And now I can compute ordinary homology in each floor separately. And this is the result. Okay? So, when you're in floor 29, this is the result for this particular knot. And it took about a day of computations when I wrote this. And nowadays, we have a better program that can do it in a few seconds. Okay? But anyway, here is the result. On floor 29, in height 0, so remember that the complex goes from 0 to, the height of the complex goes from 0 to 35. Okay? So at height 0, you have, in floor 21, you have one-dimensional homology. At floor 45, in height 9, you have a two-dimensional space, and so on. Okay? And then two things should be said. First of all, if you take the alternating, so if you take the Euler characteristic in each floor separately, you get the corresponding coefficient of the Jones polynomial. So if you do this minus this plus this minus this, this is a zero here, okay? You get the coefficient of q to the 39 in the Jones polynomial of this knot. And the proof is really to look at the main picture, okay, and realize that every part of it corresponds to a part of the computation of the Jones polynomial. The degree shifts match with these powers of q. This replacement of a circle with two empty sets with their degree shifts corresponds to the relation a circle, the bracket of a circle is equal to q plus q inverse, which appears in the Jones polynomial. So basically, you have to reread everything with the Jones polynomial in mind, but you basically follow everything that's been done and you find what I just told you. So that's that's why the Euler characteristic is the Jones polynomial. And finally, it has much more information than in the Jones polynomial, and indeed, you can just by brute force, you know, you can find two knots that have the same Jones polynomial by brute force computation, but have different homologies. Okay? So, I think I will quit now, but just briefly indicate that the way it is functorial. So, if you have a movie of knots, so if you have a movie, here is a stack of frames from the movie. So you know, you start, you go from one note, you do Rivermeister moves, it becomes another note, you do... Basically, if you have a movie of notes, it turns out to induce a morphism between their complexes. Now, a movie of notes is a two-dimensional surface in R4. So, and it turns out that you get an invariant of two-dimensional surfaces in R4. Surfaces with boundary. Surfaces that have one knot at the bottom and another knot at the top. Okay? So, again, I'm skipping this story, but I'll just say that it's been used to prove theorems. Okay, so again, I'll quit. I mean, I will not explain this any further. So I should also say that you can generalize a bit. I mean, the local relations were a bit stronger than the minimal that was necessary. You could replace the genus relation and the NC the neck cutting relation by a single relation written here, and everything still works. Again, modulo minor revisions, and you get a slightly more general theory. I mean, there is more to do, but I'll skip. Okay.